I am more than a victor through Christ Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
This past week, there's been so many things going on in our nation's capital. A lot of folks are feared. A lot of folks are weirded out. That's okay. It's well with my soul. You know why? My kingdom ain't here.
That's
Amen.
Right.
I have a promise from Jesus Christ. I got a promise that he will not, cannot break, because he gave us his word.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He holds his word above his name.
Amen.
So if Jesus said it, that's what's going to happen. Amen? That's what's going to happen. The title of today's sermon is Hell's Gate Shall Not Prevail.
Amen.
That ought to just ring so happy in your ears. Hell's gate will not prevail. It is not going to win.
Amen.
The republic has fallen. Praise God.
Yes.
That's okay. Socialism is on the rise. Praise God. Amen. Just remember, praise God. Because it does not matter if you are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
You know, they worship Jesus Christ in China, right? Where socialism is king. They worship Jesus Christ in Nazi Germany when the camps were going and they were burning the gypsies and the Jews and the homosexuals. They were burning them. Jesus Christ was still on the throne.
No.
Amen. And the Republic of America, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights is crumbling before our eyes. Praise God. He has not fallen.
No.
The Word of God still stands. My hope rests in Him, not in this pamphlet. Not in these documents. Praise God, these were here and they worked for a while. But when America turned away from God,
yep.
God removed his hand of protection
that's
from
right.
us.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yep.
You know why it's okay? If you are in Christ Jesus, nothing can take you out.
Amen.
Right? There's a gleaning, there's a separating, there's a time. And we are in a time of separation.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a time of cleaning. We're in a time of God is moving things. Know this, church. Matthew 24 and 35, Jesus says this, and he gives us a promise. Heaven and earth shall pass away.
Amen.
Amen. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. Praise God.
Amen.
Heaven and earth is going to pass away.
Amen.
But my word shall never pass away.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. His word will not fail. It does not matter.
Amen.
Our founding documents do not matter. They were only meant for people who feared God.
Yes.
And when this people of America stopped fearing God, stopped honoring God, stopped teaching God, stopped walking with God, those documents have no weight.
That's right.
I didn't agree with a lot with what Mr. Obama said when he was president, but he did say this, and I didn't agree with it then, but I see it now. America is no longer a Christian nation.
That's right.
There are Christians in the nation,
mm-hmm.
but the way that we were founded, if you go back to our foundation, way back to the Mayflower Compact, the first agreement that we had with God to enter into this land, you go back to those, we have strayed so far away from that.
Oh, I know.
We've gone away from the truth of God's word. We've gone away from the righteousness of God. And it's not the world that did it, people, for shame. It's the church that did it. Right?
Yeah.
And again, we know 2 Chronicles 7, or 7:14, everybody knows that. If my people will call by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Right? If we would, things could change. But God has sent a strong delusion because most of the church do not love the truth.
Right.
We turn to a softer, more fluffy, unicorns and rainbows gospel instead of the one true gospel. But one thing we do know, that God's word does not change. It does not move.
Amen.
He gave
Amen.
Us a promise, the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Right.
Amen. So all those things may sound bad, but God. Amen? All those things sound bad, but God. You know that there's a natural progression of kingdoms and of nations, the way they rise and the way they fall. There's really about 8 steps that it comes from. Since I'm not into Scripture, I'm going to keep talking. When I get to Scripture, I'll stop and pray. Okay, this is just history. These are just facts, all right? I'm a fact saver. when a nation is being born, they normally move from bondage to a spiritual faith. They're moving away from bondage, coming to freedom, to liberties that they can only find in the Word of God. So that's the first thing. They realize that they're in bondage, and they're moving to a spiritual faith. And then they have that faith, they understand who God is, and that builds courage in them. And then they get brave, and they start walking in the righteousness of God. They fear God more than they fear man. And then after that, that courage that they have turns into a liberty. Now I can be free because Jesus has broke the chains of bondage around me, right? And that's what happens. And then after that liberty, there comes an abundance. When God unleashes His grace on a nation, when God unleashes His mercy on the nation, when God unleashes the rain and the latter rains, and he allows the crops to grow, and He allows the babies to be born, it's a blessing because we're walking in fear, we're walking in faith, we're walking in the liberties that God gave us, and God blesses because of that.
Amen.
Well, that liberty turns into the abundance, but abundance turns into complacency. The next generation, after that abundance, we get lazy. We're complacent. Huh, I've got everything I need. I don't need God no more. I've got everything that the world can offer. What do I need? Well, that complacency turns into apathy.
Right.
I have everything I need. I don't care about anybody else. And then after that apathy is full grown, it goes to disobedience.
Right. Amen.
I'm apathetic, so I don't need God. I'm not going to obey the Word of God. Who needs God anymore, right? I'm an American. I got the stinking Constitution. I'm American. I got a Bill of Rights. You forgot the one who gave you those rights. You forgot the one who moved on the heart of men to write that Constitution.
Right.
You turned away from the blood of the men and women who died to allow you to live in this land.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, after that disobedience is full grown, well, you go back into bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. We've done the cycle.
Yes, yes.
We've done the cycle. God has blessed this nation.
Mm-hmm.
And until we as a nation have turned against, He blessed the nation all the way up until we turned against Him.
Mm-hmm.
It was not that long ago, people, where when I was going to school, I didn't go to school for that long, right? But when I went to school, we would stand, and there's a speaker, there's a set time spot, there's a speaker on the wall, we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and we prayed for our pastor, or not our pastor, our principal, and our teachers every day. And we honored God. Well, in my growing up, that became incorrect to do. And once it became incorrect to do, then they stopped saying you could even use the name of Jesus in school. Teachers couldn't teach the Ten Commandments. They couldn't teach the ways of God anymore. And the church stood by, didn't say anything. We allowed that to happen.
Amen. Right.
Nobody took your liberty from you. Nobody took your country from you.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped fighting for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We stopped believing God.
That's right.
We stopped trusting Jesus. And we all know that 2 Chronicles 7:14, if the people who are called by my name will pray.
Yeah.
He goes through and he says, this is how I'll bless the nation. He talks about food and he talks about money. He talks about houses. He talks about those things. But then comes to verse 19. Does anyone know what 2 Chronicles 7:19 says? Open your Bibles there just real quick. Because if you don't know it, you need to know it. See amen when you get there. Because I'm going to go to prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word that it never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I come, and now, even now, as I'm about ready to open your word and speak your word, I pray that you would help me to disappear. Father, you would help us to trust in you, the one true way, the God that created all things, Lord. That you would move in us and on us and bring us to that real place of repentance. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Chronicles 7:19, but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and you shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given unto them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be made, astonishment unto everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold of other gods, and they worshiped them and they served them. Therefore, he, God, brought all this evil upon them. God brought all this because we turned our back on God.
Amen.
All right? It's God's word. It's not the Antifa's fault. It's not the socialist's fault. It's not the communist's fault. It's the people of God.
Amen.
We quit. We forgot. We forgot what the foundation of our faith was. We forgot. We turned away from what was true and what was holy. Our fathers did that. I mean, this body of people right here, maybe you have not done that, but the nation as a whole has done that. All right? Because even in Israel's time, even in Nebuchadnezzar's time, or when any ruler came up, there were righteous people in the land. And when the nation turned away from God, any nation that turns away from God, any kingdom that turns away from God, they forget the statutes and the commandments of God. Then God says, I will remove you out of the land. Now, there were holy people in all of those exoduses. And when Rome captured Jerusalem, there were God-fearing Christians that were caught up in that.
Amen.
And they were led out and scattered throughout the world. When Nebuchadnezzar came in and he conquered Jerusalem, and then he conquered Judea, there were God-fearing men who reverenced the Lord.
Yes.
And they were caught up in the Exodus because the nation turned away.
Right.
So I'm not saying that there isn't a remnant. There is a remnant. But even in that remnant, they still got took into bondage. There's a remnant in America. There are holy people in America. There's people that still preach the word of God right here.
Amen.
Right here. Even in New York, in the seat of Satan, there's still pastors not afraid of the government that will stand and proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Yeah. And when they come and drag us out of here in chains, we'll go. And it's well with my soul.
Amen.
It's well with my soul.
Amen.
God is absolutely in charge. He is absolutely,
blessing, yeah. And yes.
To think of that, flip over to Matthew, because Jesus also said this, talking to Peter, or actually he's talking to all of his disciples. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000, and after he fed the 5,000, he brought his disciples. They came to him, and they asked him, this is Matthew chapter 16, in verse 12. Excuse me. Well, no, verse 13. And when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Let me ask you this. When you talk to the world, when you talk to people and you ask them, who do you say the Son of Man is? You'll get a lot of the same answers that they gave back then. Oh, he was a good teacher. Jesus was a good teacher. He taught some very moral things. And if we live by the morality that Jesus taught, great. You know, we'll all be better. Have you heard that when you witness to somebody?
Yeah.
You say, yeah, that boy, he was a great teacher. He was a good prophet. He knew the beginning from the end. He could read man's hearts. A lot of folks say that. Unfortunately, a lot of people who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior say that. You can have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge.
That's right.
And as Jesus said that, who do men say? And some said, thou art John the Baptist. And some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked this, and I'm asking you this, because this makes a difference right here. And he saith unto them, but whom saith ye that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? Not the world, not the unsaved folks, the church.
Amen.
Who do you say Jesus is? When you're in your bed, when you're talking, when you're living your life, when you're at work, and you're just going about the normal daily, day-to-day grind, who do you say Jesus is? You better say it right. Amen. You better have a belief system that goes way beyond your understanding of the reality you live in right now.
Yes, amen.
Because in reality, we think that he is a good prophet. But in all truth, he is God manifested
amen.
In flesh.
Amen.
As Peter answered him, and Jesus answered and said, and Peter answered, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, you are the offspring of the Most High God. You are God manifested in the flesh. That's what he's saying here. The Son of God. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, the son of Jonah. Simon, the son of Jonah. You're blessed because you understand this. If you understand that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, if you understand that, you can put your name in there.
Amen.
Amen. That's just not for Peter way back then. That's for you right now today. You can be that. You can have this blessing. You can have this. If you really and truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the living Son of the Most High God, do you really believe that? Then you don't care whether the republic falls or not.
That's right.
If you really believe that, the Constitution don't matter.
Right.
If you really believe that if Stalin or Hitler rise from the grave and they rule in America, Hillary say that her favorite guy was from China? Macy Tung?
Mao Tse Tung.
Like Mickey Mousey's tongue? Yeah. Anyhow, Mao Zedong, all right? And she said that was her favorite person in history. She wanted the whole world to be like that. Okay? Who cares? I don't care if Mao Zedong comes and rules America. I don't care. You know why? This ain't my home. Amen. This ain't my home. And I will worship Jesus whether I'm under a communist thumb or I'm under the eagle's claw. Alright, I'm going to worship Jesus Christ with the fullness of my heart, with the fullness of my life, with everything that is in me. I will be glorifying God.
Amen.
And I don't care what government happens to be running the world system here. We got to have that mindset.
Yes, right? Amen.
Right? Because when Peter said this, Rome was in charge of Jerusalem. They had no liberties in those days. They had no constitution in those days. They had no Bill of Rights in those days. They lived underneath an emperor that hated them. And Peter said, you are the Christ.
Amen.
You are the Christ.
Praise him.
And Jesus said, you're blessed because flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, you can say that he's the Christ with your mouth, but you need to have an unveiling by the Spirit of God.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Right? Because there's a lot of people that draw near to the Lord with their mouth, but their heart is far from him. Right? You need to have a heart confession to the Lord. You need to have the deepest part of your soul confessing that he is God manifested in flesh.
Right.
That he's the Christ, the Savior of the world. That only through him can you get to the Father. Only through a right relationship with God. Only through his payment on the cross. And people don't worship the cross. That's just a couple pieces of wood.
That's right.
Worship the Christ who hung on the cross. And not just hung on the cross, but rose from the grave on the third day. And now is seated at the right hand of the Father. You worship him.
Praise.
You don't worry about who's in charge of this world.
That's right.
You don't worry about who's in charge of the Constitution or the United States government. You don't worry about what the things of this world, have, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear.
Amen.
The Gentiles, the lost people worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that the Father loves you?
Amen.
And if he cared for the sparrows,
right,
don't you think you're worth a little bit more than a sparrow?
Yeah.
Do you know how many sparrows it takes to make a decent plate of grits? Oh, what?
Hundreds.
God loves you so much more than that.
He does. Bless him.
He has prepared for you such a better place than this. So we need to have our faith in him.
That's right.
And see, your flesh and blood cannot guarantee you that. See, if you're born again, you hear the voice of God.
Amen.
If you have a renewed spirit, if you've been converted through the word of God, if Jesus Christ has overcome you and encapsulated you and became the propitiation for your sin, if he has you, you have a communication
with God.
My spirit connects with his spirit and his spirit connects. Yes. He tells me to come and to go. He tells me to trust or to flee. He tells me how to love. When it's an unlovely thing.
Yes.
He tells me not to worry about who's in charge.
Right.
Amen? Because he's in charge.
Amen.
All right? And he says, all things work together for good.
Right.
To those that love him and are called for his purposes. Right. All things.
All things.
Even this.
Yes.
And it's okay.
Amen.
It's okay. Because America moved away from God a long time ago. God never moved away from us. He never moved from us. We moved from him out of our own free will, out of our own desire to follow the lust of our heart. We moved. He didn't. Oh, he loves you still.
Bless him.
I heard it from Isaiah this morning. Is his arm so short that he cannot save?
That's right.
Isn't his hand still reaching out? Yeah. Even in the midst of a communist country, his arm's still reaching out.
Right.
Even in the gulags in Russia, his hand's still reaching out. In the deepest parts of prison in China, his arm's still reaching out.
Yeah.
In the Middle East, where they're killing Christians every day, his arm's still reaching out.
Amen. Bless him.
And in America, under the thumb of a socialist government, his arm's still reaching out.
Amen. Thank God.
If we're depending on the Constitution, you're depending on the wrong document. God has a document of freedom for us, and only the Spirit of God can reveal it to you. Verse 18, Jesus said, I say this unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thou art Peter. You're the little bee stone. You're a little old pebble. You're pretty much a nothingness. Thou art Peter. It's in the Strong's. It's 4074, and it means pebble, rock, or stone. Just a small thing. Here you go. Here, one of my sweetheart youth brought this to me. See this? A little bitty old rock. Just a teensy little old piece of broken stone. That's all Peter was. He was a nothingness.
Right.
You're nothingness. But what you believe on will make you great.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, and upon this Petra, this rock, and that's 4037, and that means this cliff, this ledge, this boulder, this outcrop. All right? So when you look at the word and the definition of the word, when Jesus said, upon this outcrop, upon this boulder, upon the truth, what truth? Not that Peter was a pebble, because we're all pebbles. Right? You are a living stone, right? That, and you're created for the righteousness of God. That's a given. But upon the confession that he made, upon the confession that thou art the Christ,
Amen.
The Son of the Most High God, that thou art the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, upon that confession, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build the church. I'm going to call people out. I'm going to make an ecclesia. I'm going to pull people from all corners of the world, all races, all creeds,
all financial backings. I'm going to call the lost into my light, and everyone who wants to come, everyone who's called, can come. The door is open. Praise God for that. You were saved because you trusted on the outcrop of Jesus Christ.
I went hiking with a couple of brothers of mine a couple of years ago, and we went to this thing, I think they called it Indian Point, out in the Adirondacks over here. And so you walk up this long mountain and you go out, and there's an outcrop of rock kind of comes to a point out like this, and it's just a sheer cliff. Wonderful spot. Lovely. Scared me to death. But you get up there and you're standing on the edge, and I got right on the edge up like this, and I'm looking out. I see one of the big lakes that was formed by when God allowed the glaciers to come through and make these big caverns in the earth, and it's filled. It's beautiful. Awestruck. I mean, awestruck. That's what it's like when you're standing on Jesus.
Amen.
You're standing there on the edge and looking out over all the world. Although it's beautiful, it really doesn't matter because the rock has you.
Amen.
The rock has you. That rock, that confession that Jesus is Christ, that has you. That confession that the Spirit of God has moved onto you and you understand the holiness of God. He called us out. He gathered a church, in the Greek, it's ecclesia, and we all know that. And I don't know Greek. I barely speak American. Right? So I don't try to use a lot of Greek stuff because I don't speak Greek. I talk American. I don't speak English. English people use solid letters. I don't. And so they, anyhow, that running down a thing. There's a on my computer app. Yeah, I use one of those things. Is the Thayer definition. It's like the Strong's and the Thayer's right underneath this. It's from Esort, and he said ecclesia. It's a gathering of citizens out of their homes to an assembly, assembling people in a public place. They're assembled for counsel and for deliberating, for the assembly to worship and to unite in one body. That's what the church, that's what God did.
Amen.
And he said, the ones who really believe, the ones who have been called by the Father to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, they are the church.
That's right.
They are the building.
That's right.
And in that, God speaks to us. And he said in Peter here, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the ecclesia, against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the citizens that are called out from their home to an assembly, the assembly of God. All right? The gates of hell will not prevail against people coming together for counsel and deliberating. That's what we do in Sunday school.
Amen.
We deliberate. We talk about some stuff. It's beautiful. The gates of hell will not prevail against those who come to worship in unity of the body. Satan got no power over us.
No.
Satan got no power. He will not prevail. Do you believe that?
Amen.
All right, you got to believe it, because if you only look at what's happening on the news today, you will think that Satan's winning. We have a promise from God that he shall not. What's that mean? Shall not. He will not win. He will not prevail. But even in him not winning victory, that does not mean that we will not be tested. It doesn't mean that we will not experience hard times. It means that he ain't going to win. It means that the rest of the Bible holds in with it. That, again, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. They come drag us out of here. They bring us to the streets and murder us because we preach the gospel. It's for the good of God.
Yes.
All right? It's for his good.
Amen.
Trust him. Don't trust your circumstances.
Amen.
It's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. But he will not prevail.
Right.
Amen. He ain't going to win. He ain't going to win. Cannot do it. I got Jesus' word. He shall not prevail. He ain't winning. We have a promise from Jesus Christ, and I'm holding on to that. Regardless if this Constitution falls to the ground, the Word of God will always stand.
Amen.
He holds His Word above His name. And at the name of Jesus,
amen.
Every knee is going to fall. Every knee is going to fall.
Yes.
Every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord, that He is King.
Amen.
And if you're in Him, you'll be standing with Him when that happens.
Right, right.
All of these socialists, all these folks that don't believe in Jesus Christ, all these half-in, half-out Christians, we call them lukewarm, all those folks, they may not bow today. There's coming a day they will
right,
bow, they
right.
will confess.
That's right.
I'm waiting for that day.
Amen.
So today, if evil comes and takes my skin away,
yeah.
it's okay.
We're going to heaven.
I'm going to heaven. Send me home early. I got a ticket, all right, paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave us that He has called us.
Amen.
All right? You've been called by the Father. Do you really believe in the confession that no physical work, no mindset can bring you into that?
Right.
It takes God to give you the faith.
That's right.
It takes God to give you the faith. You cannot get faith on your own. You can't just believe because you want to believe.
Amen.
You must believe when you accept what the Bible says and you surrender yourself under that. And then God gives you that faith.
Yes,
he gives you His grace. He gives you His mercy. Because those are things you cannot manufacture.
Right.
The Bill of Rights can't fix that.
No.
We've got to be sold out for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We ought to have the same confession that Peter has,
mm-hmm.
that's given to you, that Jesus is Messiah. He's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He's the living Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Flip, if you will, to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 24. Now, when we say we believe and we really don't believe, there's something that happens. Because you can say it with your mouth and your heart not mean it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against how much ungodliness?
All
ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now catch what the Bible just said there. You might get mad at me. I can't help that. What the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed, is exposed. We have been blessed in this nation for a long time.
Yes, yes.
God has given us a plenty. And He gave us plenty of warning. Right?
Sure.
He gave us, you look over the last 10 years. How many times has God shot a volley across the bow of the ship saying, turn around, repent, come back, trust me.
Yes.
And how many times do people flock to the building but never come to Christ?
Right, right.
God says, I've revealed it. I've shown it to you. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. These are the church people. They're holding the truth, but their heart is far from God.
Right, right.
They have the Bible, the truth, but they're living in unrighteousness.
Amen.
God says, my wrath is on you. My wrath is on you, people. My wrath is on you, America. My wrath is on you because you have the truth and you're living in unrighteousness. You have the truth. And I tried to get you out of this. I sent everything I could to you to wake you up, to get you awake. And still, they prayed to some ungodly entity in the house. Did y'all see that? Just a couple weeks ago where the chaplain of the House of Representatives prayed this ungodly dribble and ended it with a man and a woman. How revolting to the Lord is that? That was just before socialism took over. That was the last straw. God said, this far, you want this? You want this? You can have it. You want your socialism? You want me out of your life? I'm leaving. It's not that I don't love you. I love you.
Blessing.
You don't want me. I've tried. I've stretched out my arm. I've begged. I've pleaded. I've sent angel after angel. I've sent message after message. I've sent prophet after prophet. I've shown you signs and wonders in the times that you're living in. And the church remains silent. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness of their lust through their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen?
Amen.
Why is America dissolving? Because that's us.
Amen.
Because that's us.
That's right.
Because, unfortunately, that's the state of 90% of the churches in America today.
Right, right.
They trust the vaccine more than they trust the healer. They trust the mask more than the one who says, unmask your faith and walk. They trust the government more than the one who set up the government.
Amen.
The churches did that. The ones who are supposed to be holy and living by faith, who know the truth of God. And they turned away. This isn't that the world turned away. The world never knew him. This is for those who are born again, who said that they know the one true God, and they turned their back to the written word of God and believed the lie. They worship the creature rather than the creator. They worship Fauci and Trump more than they worship the creator. They worship Biden or Pelosi or you name the person, Cuomo. So many churches are saying that he is next to God.
Oh.
And he is godless.
Wow.
No wonder God gave us over.
Yeah.
No wonder God pulled his protection off of us. We deserved it.
Yeah.
Not only did we deserve it, we asked for it. Because when these ungodly powers were on the rise, where were the Bible-believing Christians? Huddling in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Believing the lie instead of the truth. And not just in this one virus. We got to go back a few years. When the government said it's okay to murder your babies.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know that started 3 years earlier in New York? Mm-hmm. Free, unadulterated murdering of children started in New York State. 1973. Think of that. 1970. Yeah, because 73 was the other. I'm sorry. 1970. All right. Wrap your mind around that a little bit. Here, in the seat of Satan in New York, this is where that virus came first. And our illustrious governor sent all those sick people to the elderly homes. And they praised, the church praised him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Our financial, we worship the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
9/11, God sent a rocket across the financial structures of America. What did he say? we will rebuild it better. And all God was saying is, repent.
Amen.
All those things, all this stuff, all God has been saying this whole time is repent. Come back to me. We say that in New York, we started this idea that it's okay for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. Or the gender confusion. There is no gender confusion.
That's right.
There's two, male and female.
Amen.
Period. I don't care what you think.
Amen.
Yes.
God says I made male, man and woman, male and female. And they were to procreate and to make godly seed.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Two dudes ain't doing that. Right? I mean, not to be nasty or nothing, but you ain't making that happen like this. Right? Yeah, and you don't, that don't happen. You ain't going to get two women to make a baby.
Yeah. If they did, a man was involved.
Amen. Yeah, he had more than a hand in it. Oh man, that was horrible of me. Sorry, but you're right. It took that. It took that. You can't do it. Two eggs cannot make life.
No.
Two seeds cannot make life. It takes a seed and an egg, right? And God made it that way. You don't see two male deers or two male raccoons.
No.
Or two male nature of anything out there doing stuff with each other.
No.
Because God didn't design it that way.
Right.
In fact, if you get two male raccoons together in a cage, they will fight to the death.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't get along with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that's beside the point. But we profess to be wise. We profess to know more than God. We forget that he is the creator, but we worship the creation more than we worship the one who created it.
That's right. That's
and we say that, oh, we are so smart. But God says, you're such a fool. Don't you know, as easy as I started this, I can stop it?
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan said this. It was your liberties, I think it was. Your liberties are only one generation.
That's right.
One generation from going.
Yes.
From his time to this time, you've gone.
Mm-hmm.
God, forgive us.
Yes.
Right? But even amongst all that, we have this promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen? We just went through some ugly stuff. I got good news for you. Even though we see this ugliness, the gates of hell are not going to prevail.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And now, we got to hold on to that because that's the only place we're going to get any hope.
That's right.
Flip over, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to have you repeat after me, the gates of hell shall not prevail, and I'll tell you when. We'll start reading in verse 14. You there? All right. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And?
Amen.
The gates of hell shall not prevail. All right, I'm going to do it again. Y'all need to do your part. I'm doing my part. All right. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And? Amen. For they have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. And? But you have received the spirit of the adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail.
For the spirit itself witnessed with our spirit, that we are the children of God, and
the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Okay? And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail. If so, we suffer with him,
yes,
that we may also be glorified together.
Amen.
The gates of hell shall not prevail. All right? For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why?
The gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen. 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? The gates of hell shall not prevail. Okay? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not unwillingly, but by the reason of him who hath subjected us by the same hope. And the gates of hell, our hope is the gates of hell will not prevail. Right? All of this stuff. And the gates of hell, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Why? The gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. I think that is our only hope in this day and time. Because the gates of hell will not prevail against you. We are the church. The gates of hell are not going to be prevailing. They're not overtaking the church. It doesn't say it's not coming against the church. It's saying that there is no victory for the gates of hell.
Amen.
Because we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're experiencing some of the hard times, some of the groanings, some of the difficulties. But the gates of hell will not prevail. They're not going to win.
No.
Amen? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Why? The gates of hell shall not prevail, okay? For we are saved by hope. Why? The gates of hell shall not prevail. But hope is not, hope that is seen is not hope. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. I have never seen the gates of hell, but I know it ain't winning.
Amen.
I know it ain't winning. It looks rough right now, but I know it ain't winning. It looks bad on every side, but the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen. That's right.
You got to be holding on. You got to take that. You got to grind that into your heart, into your soul, into the righteousness that you know. You need to hold on to that truth that Jesus gave us, that those who confess him, those who are born again in him, regardless of what may come, the gates of hell will not prevail. Nations will rise and nations will fall, but the gates of hell will not prevail. Right? Leaders will come and leaders will go, but the gates of hell shall not prevail, no matter what. We need to, it does not matter whether we have a constitution, because the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't say it's not going to win over the world. It says it's not going to prevail against the church.
Right.
You are the church. You are the building. You are the little stone that is balanced on the mighty boulder of Jesus Christ.
Bless
you. Folks, I find hope in that. I find hope in that.
Oh, yes.
I feel better because I know the end.
Amen.
You know, I don't feel better because of the right now.
No.
I know in whom I believe it. And
amen.
I am persuaded that he
amen.
Is able. What's that? You don't, you're in Sunday school. You said it. That he is able to keep that which I've
committed unto him
against
that day.
Amen?
Yes.
Have you committed to him against the day of attack?
Yes.
Because that's where hope comes from.
Amen.
When you have done all you can do, stand ye therefore. Ephesians chapter 5. I've got a few seconds here, right? Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, man, this is good. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Why? Because the gates of hell ain't going to prevail. Amen. You follow Christ because the gates of hell have no power over you. Follow him as dear children. Walk in love. Why? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. All right? Because the gates of hell will not prevail against that. But as for you, but fornication, what? Who? Fornication, but fornication and all uncleanness. For the church, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as it be, as as becometh the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolishness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor an unclean person, shall, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Okay, but the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
All right, you got to understand that. All right, yeah. If you're a whoremonger, you have no promise of your salvation.
No.
Okay, if you're living in uncleanness, you have no promise of your salvation. Why? Because the Bible says so. Okay, you can get mad at me if you want to. Be not deceived with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God unto the children of disobedience. But be not therefore partakers with them. Okay? The people who are panicking and getting all in a frizzy about the things that are happening in our nation and our government right now, don't be partakers with them.
No. Amen.
Don't get tied up in that stuff. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you get caught in a little bit of barbed wire, the more you struggle, the more it cuts you. Right? So just don't worry about it. You know, you can be wrapped up in barbed wire and just relax, and you'll just have a couple holes in you. Really, and it's just going to poke through your skin a little bit. It's not going to kill you. You fight that stuff, it'll rip you to shreds.
Yeah.
But guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail.
That's
right? And that, for you are sometimes in darkness, but now you are of the light. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to speak of those things. All right, I need to get a little bit further than that. Redeem the time. Don't be drunk like others. Am I in the wrong place?
I don't know.
I don't know because you don't know where I'm going. Well, I must be. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was. It was chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, okay, finally, this is 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Right? So my powers, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. So I need to put on that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, against Republican or Democrat, socialism, or any other kind of government. We don't wrestle against that, but we're wrestling against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. But guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail, right? All right? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail, having done all to stand. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Stand ye therefore. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Having your loins girt about with truth, because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Having the breastplate of righteousness, because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. Above all, take the shield of faith. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Wherewith you stand able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. Do you kind of catch a theme here? Devil is angry, but it don't matter. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. They're not going to prevail. Oh, take on that helmet of salvation, because the gates of hell won't prevail. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, because the gates of hell will not prevail. Pray always with all prayer and supplication, because the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen.
We got to, do you know it? Come on, church. Do you know that no matter what is happening in this world, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Because we have a Savior. We have a God. We have a great warrior that is above all, in control of all. He's almighty. And he loves you.
Amen. Praise him.
And he said, evil is not going to prevail against you. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. Against that faith that Jesus is the Christ.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer, that there's not going to be hard times. Jesus didn't promise you that. What he did promise you is victory.
Amen.
He promised you victory. You can have victory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because the gates of hell cannot prevail.
No.
Amen. Amen. When I came across that this week, I was shouting. I was shouting because I was depressed before then. Yeah. I was a little whiny. I was sucking it up. Constitution has failed. Oh, our republic has fallen. Well, and then God said, so what? So what? Do you think there aren't Christians being tortured in Russia right now? In China right now? In the Middle East right now? And guess what? Even through all that, being burned to death, being buried in the sand, being stoned, the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen. Amen.
Because we got a promise.
Yes, thank God.
Might look a little ugly.
We got victory.
We got victory. Right. Amen, brother. We got victory. Folks, we need to hold on to those things.
Yes, right.
Do not be dismayed. Be of courage. Stand. When you've done all you can, stand ye therefore.
That's right.
So all you got to do is stand. You stand in that confession of Jesus Christ. Yes. You stand because he is the Savior of the world. You stand because he gave you strength to stand. In the power of his might. Mm-hmm. Not in the power of yours. Mm-hmm. And take the sword of the Spirit.
Bless
Remember, you've heard me say this before. This is the Spirit's sword. This is not your personal battle axe. Alright? This is the Spirit sword.
Amen.
And in this, it is the power of God.
Yes.
In this, it divides bone and marrow, spirit and soul. This is what divides. It'll cut the dead off of you, but it'll also bring life to them. And the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen.
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 I got it right here. It's all I need. All I need. That's all we got to have. And we got to have faith in that.
That's
God.
That's right.
He's on the throne.
That's right.
God is on the throne.
Amen. We can go to the highest heavens.
Ooh, come on.
To the depths
of the sea. Yeah.
And then he's there.
Even in the grave.
He controls
God is still there.
Right.
And there is no victory outside of Jesus Christ.
No.
But inside of Jesus Christ, there are
Amen.
No losers. Amen.
Amen.
I love you. What you got, brother?
Why don't we end with 243, Victory of Jesus?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. We ain't closed the song in a long time. Page 243.
I figured that would be good to close the service. Sir.
Good as any. Well, y'all heard the old story. What you going to do about it? Amen?
To what?
243. Yes, sir. Amen.
Of his precious blood atoning.
Trust you above what we see. I pray, Father, that you would build our faith for that day. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a strong